Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, Shalom Aleichem, and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Chulin Daf Mem Aleph. We begin four lines off the top of the Amud, and this relates back to yesterday's Machlekes. According to Rav Huna, one can affect his friend's object. So even a non-owner can prohibit something. Which means, let's say there was an item, and a non-owner came over to it and used it for avodah zarah. If he did a ma'asa, if he modified it to some extent, it will make it awesome. According to Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, and Rav Yitzchak, no. They hold, a non-owner can have no effect. Toshmai comes at Raya from our Mishnah. Beis Oichzen Besaken. You have two fellows, Reuben and Shimon, clutching the same knife. One on either side, and will be joining forces to do a Shechita. V'sheichten. Now, the act was the same, but the intent was very different. Echad, L'shem Echad Mekal Eilu. Reuben was having in mind that the Shechita is intended as a form of worship to one of those idols, right? Ve'echad l'shem davar kasher. Shimon, on the other hand, is thinking proper thoughts, just to do a kasher Shechita, nothing else in mind. So one fellow was okay, one fellow diverted. Shechita se'psula, the Shechita is a failed Shechita because of Reuben's contribution. And we assume, Rashi says, we assume that this halacha applies even if the animal actually was owned by Shimon only. Still, Reuben and his intentions can act to the detriment of Shimon's animal. So we see Adam Oyseir, Dabar Sheinish Loi, a non-owner can have a negative impact on something which is not even his. Answer is, Hacha, but my skin was speaking, the Islai Shutfas Begava. Actually, the animal was jointly owned by both people. There was a partnership. So, of course, he can have impact. Toshmai comes another right. Hamatame. A non-owner goes and is Matame, his friend's item. Takes a lizard, a dead, you know, sheretz, and puts it into contact with Shimon's material. Or he mixes some truma into Shimon's chulin, which makes it forbidden to an ordinary person. It has to be sold to a kohen at a cheaper rate. Or he takes Shimon's wine and pours it up by the zara. In all these cases, he inflicted harm, monetary harm. Is he responsible? B'shogeg pater, was done inadvertently, he's pater. He didn't realize that it was truma, he didn't realize, right? B'meizet chayiv, he did it purposely, it's chayiv. And Rashi explains the whole background that's based on the Gemara Bava Kama. Really, there are no excuses when it comes to personal activities. You're chayiv regardless, but here it's different. He says, it's not really visible damage. It's invisible, more on the spiritual realm of things. It's called hezek she'enoy nikar, and in that case, you're not really chayiv min ha-Torah. It's only mid-Rabbanah. There's a knas. We penalize this fellow for doing it, and only if he did it purposely. In any case, what do we see from here? That you could impact someone else's item. You took someone else's wine. It doesn't belong to you. And you did nisuch. It becomes asr. Well, says the Gemara, who says he's not an owner? Hachanami. Here too, we're speaking the Islai Shutas Begava, the perpetrator. Was a shutta, was a partner in this material, in which case he's deemed an owner. But really, Ketanoi, we find that this question is given to Machlekes Tanoi, whether a non-owner can impact. A Yisrael had wine. A guy came over and did nisuch on that wine. But it was shaloi b'fnei avodas kechavim, not in the presence of an idol. He did it for the sake of nisuch to avodah zarah, but avodah zarah was not actually right here. What happens to this wine? Asrei, according to the Tanakhama, Asrei, he has now forbade the wine, becomes Asrei. So we learn two things. First of all, even though it wasn't done in front of the Avodah Zarah, it's still called Nisuch, which makes the wine asur. Number two, it can even be done by a non-owner, like in this case. The guy did the Nisuch on the Yiddish wine, it becomes asur. That is the Tanakama sheet. Rabbi Yehuda ben Nesera, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, they disagree. Matirin, they permit the wine. Matirin Oisoi, for two reasons. Ibnei Shneidvar, for two separate reasons. Echad, first of all, this is not the standard Nisuch procedure. Typically, it's done in front of the idol. Echad, first of all, Shein Menaschen Yain, Elo Befnei Avodah Zarah. They only do Nisuch in front of the Avodah Zarah, which in this case didn't happen. Number two, Ve'echad, Shiach Aleim Leib, because the Jewish wine owner can tell the guy, it's none of your business. You can't make my wine asr, loikol hei menach. It's not within your ability, shete'esor yeni, to forbid my wine loinzi against my will. So, we seem to have a machlekes tanoim in this regard. Tanakama says, even a non-owner can forbid, according to the second shita, a non-owner has no say in the matter. So Rav Huna's statement, Rav Huna's halacha, learned yesterday that a non-owner can impact, is really subject to machlekes tanaim. He's going like the Tanakhama, but not like the other shitas. Now, Rav Nachman, etc., who disagrees, they held that ein adam oyser adam shein shloya, a non-owner cannot impact, cannot have any say in the matter. How are they going to learn this this brisa? Says the Gemara, actually, according to them, it can still be reconciled according to all opinions. Meaning, they can their position can be in line with the Tanakhama as well. Although they had told us that a non-owner has no impact, and Tanakhama seems to say yes. Rav Nachman, Rav Amram, Rav Yitzchak Amri, they'll explain, Afilu l'manda Amar, Adam Oyser, Adam Hashem Shalei, even according to Tanakam, who seems to hold that a non-owner can't be detrimental, that's only by a goy, Hanimili Kusi, a goy, who's certainly serious about his Nisuch HaYayin, he's doing Avodah Zarah, of course it makes it Asr, Al Yisrael. But in our story, we're talking about a Yid doing this this act. He's not serious. He's just pranking around. Let's Urika Machaven. He's trying to distress the owner. He's not really trying to do idol worship. So if he throws the perpetrator, we don't have to take him seriously. And in fact, the item is not asr. Tashma. But it comes a kasha on that. You're telling me a Yisrael is not to be taken seriously in this regard? We have the Mishnah, Beis Oichten, Besakan, Beshoichten. We have the two Shoichten converging together. One had the Zoram wine, one did not. And the question is, it's Israel. He's just pranking. We're speaking about a renegade Jew who's committed, unfortunately, to the this type of a lifestyle. So in this case, he means business. Toshmai comes another right, Hamatame, right? Hamadameya, Hamanasich, our story, Beshoigi is part of Mezit Chayiv. And the question again is, if it's Israel, let's assume he's just joking around. Once again, Nami here too, Bishral Mum, we're speaking about a Jew who's off the track. Amalei Rav Acha b'Rav Rav Rav Ashi. Okay, online with this thinking that only a Israel Mum is to be taken seriously in this regard, what about a regular, ordinary Israel who's not known to have deviated? A regular Yisrael, Cheskas Kashrus, and he's about to shecht his friend's animal, Tavay Dezar. And they warned him, what are you doing? If you're going to do it, you're going to be liable to severe punishment, Misa. And he says, I don't care. He's availing himself to that Misa. He's disregarding the warning. What status does this perpetrator have? Is he like a regular Yisrael? We assume it's Urika Machaven is trying to play a prank, but we say, look, this guy's obviously not very committed to the Torah way of life. He's totally disregarding and discounting what we have to say to him. So perhaps that's indicative of his status, of his level of deviation. And we treat him like Yisrael Mumar. And his shechita l'avodah zara is considered as such and makes it asur. Which way? They warned him. V'kibel olav asra, and he accepted the warning. He disregarded it. My, what's his status? Amalei, he says, ah. You're right. Hitter atzmalam. He's still coming. He's talking about a fellow who was availing himself to a death penalty. I mean, he's totally disregarding the whole seriousness of the matter. Ein lecha mumer gadol mazeh. You don't have a greater mumer than that. And of course, it's considered an act of a desire and makes it us. Okay, so in summation, can a non-owner impact an item? For instance, by doing shechita on his neighbor's calf, avodah zara, by pouring his wine. According to Rav Huna, the answer is yes. According to the other shitas, depends. By a guy, yes, because he means it seriously, at least according to one shita in the Braisa. But by Yisrael, we assume he's just playing a prank, unless he's Yisrael Momer. Continues the Mishnah. Okay, as a regular animal, he's about to do shechita. Says the Mishnah, he should be careful not to do it in a manner where it would appear to the observer like he's worshipping some spirit, some, you know, angels, some forces, and he's doing avodah zara. So it should be done in a manner which is not reminiscent of that type of behavior. Ein shechten, one should not do shechita loy l'toich yamim, into the sea, loy l'toich nahars, into the river. Rashi says, because it would appear like he's being shechet to the sar, to the minister, to the force, to the malach that's managing the seas. Next, Lilith Kalim, nor into a kli, into a receptacle. Rashi says here, the concern is that it might appear like he's being makabal the dam for avodah zara, he's collecting the blood for purpose of worshipping an idol. So just do shechita on the plain ground to avoid any of these appearances. Aval shechet hu l'tech ugo shel mayim, but he could do shechita into the little pit filled with water, where the blood just gets mixed into the water, gets diluted, and it's no longer fit for, you know, worshipping idols, and it's not really a true natural body of water like a sea, where there's a concern about appearing like he's, you know, addressing the minister of the... That's okay. Ubisvin al-gabi kelim, likewise, if you're traveling on a boat. So to keep the aesthetics on the boat, he wants to... get the blood to stream out into the sea, but you can't. You can't do shechita onto the sea. So what do you do? Al gabi kelim. Do the shechita on some sort of kli, which will now drain, right? The water will sort of drain through the kli into the sea, and that's okay, because it wasn't directly into the sea. Continues the Mishnah. In shechten leguma kol ikka, one should not do shechita into a pit at all. Aval bat, oise guma b'tech beise, b'shvil sheikon eset amotoicha. But if he's doing shechita in his house, there's the cleanliness factor. So he's allowed to make a guma pit and have the blood trickle into the pit. Now, this seems to contradict what we just said a minute ago, that you shouldn't do shechita. We'll get to that in the Gemara. U'b'shuk l'yas, okay. If you're out in the street where cleanliness wasn't really a high priority, you shouldn't even do this. You shouldn't even do shechita next to a pit. Shaloi, why? Shaloi, we turn to my base. Yichaka. As atzdukim or as aminim, different words used to describe the same people, deviators, the non-believers, right? You should not be mechaka. Rashi says mechaka comes from choik, custom, a practice, doctrine. You shouldn't reinforce their position, because apparently they used to do this. They used to shecht into pits for whatever reason, perhaps reminiscent to something related to the Zohar or something. So you shouldn't do anything which emulates their customs. Okay, continues the Gemara. Ein shechten leilat toich yamim. So the Mishnah began. Shechita into the yam, into the naharos, that's not acceptable. But into an ugal shalmayim, that's okay. What's the difference? It's all the same thing. It's a body of water. Ma'ishnal toich yamim deloy. What's wrong with shechita into the sea? The amri, because the observer might consider it like an act of worship. It looks like he's shechting to the sar of the yam, and he's worshipping the malach and the spirits. Well, likewise, if he's shechting to the pit filled with water, Amri, people can say, look, his reflection is being reflected off the water. Perhaps he's shechting to that reflection, to that spirit, to that spiritual force. We're talking about dirty water, muddied water. which case there's no visible reflection, there's no issue. Okay, the Mishnah continues. Ein sheichin l'guma. One should not shecht into a pit, an empty pit. But then it says you could. You're at home, you want to keep the place clean, you can make a pit, a shecht. All right. Isn't that self-contradictory? V'amris, you just told me, ein shecht in l'guma klal. You shouldn't shecht into a pit at all. Amar Abaye. We're talking about different locations. Reisha b'guma shebashuk. When the Mishnah says you can't, that's talking out in the street. But there is no cleanliness, you know, factor at play. Versus the one in your house, where it's clear that you're just doing it to keep the house clean, without any other intention, nefarious intentions. Amalei Rava, how could you say the Reisha is talking about the street? Because the Mishnah concludes with the street, with a reference to the Shuk. Evidently, the discussion up until that point was not referring to the street. Amalei Rava. Well, I mean, Tani Sefi, take a look at the conclusion of the Mishnah, which makes a reference to the street. It was Shuk, Layasa King. You shouldn't do it in the street because of the Tzduk and Machlal the Reisha. Apparently, the initial halacha in the Mishnah, Lav B'Shuk Askin, is not related to the street. Elamar Rava. Let me explain to you what's going on in the Mishnah. Hochikamar. Mishnah means like this. Ein Shechten L'Guma Kol Iker. Period. One should never shecht into a pit to have the blood directly flow into the pit. Now, V'Reitze L'Nakar S'Chatzeri. Suppose he's doing Shechita in his backyard, front yard. He wants to keep it clean. L'Nakar means to cleanse it, to clean it. How do you avoid getting it sullied? Keter Ois, right? You can't have the blood directly shoot into the pit. So what do? Oisa Mokim Chus L'Guma. You make like a ditch, a furrow, right next to a pre-existing pit. And instead of shechting right on the pit, you shecht on the furrow, which will drain the blood into the pit. So you're not actually shechting to the pit. That's okay. You shecht on the side. The dam will now flow and trickle into the pit. So since he's in his house, where we have this cleanliness consideration, plus he's doing it on the side, so it's clear that he's just draining it. He's not doing this shechita into the pit, you know, practice. But that's only in the home. Ubishuk, but out in the street where this factor is not really a priority. Cleanliness was not, you know. Lo yasakin, you shouldn't do it this way either. It shouldn't appear like he's reinforcing and supporting the tzdukim's practice. In fact, we have a braisa, Tanya, come say the Rav, in line with Rav's opinion. He's traveling by boat. There's no place to shech properly without selling the boat. He extends his hand beyond the railing. And the shechita on the water. So he arranges that the blood will trickle alongside the walls of the sfina, meaning not directly into the sea, and then it will drain into the sea in a manner which is consistent with, you know, his effort to keep his boat clean. Now when he's on dry land, once again, he should not be shechting into a pit. However, but if he's trying to keep his place clean, what do you do? You dig a little ditch beside the pit, and you shecht on that ditch. It allows the blood to flow and to descend into the pit. But out in the street, where this cleanliness factor, aesthetics, is not really a high priority, so then he shouldn't even do it this way. Because the pasuk warns against emulating, following the ways of the goyim. And if he actually did so, that raises a red flag about his religious commitments. Tzorach b'dika achra, have to check after him, examine, and do some research to investigate whether, in fact, he is conforming with the Torah way of life. Otherwise, you can't eat his meat, you can't eat his wine. Okay, so in a nutshell, when practicing Shechita, it should be done in a manner which is consistent with the Torah way of life, without arousing any question marks, any doubts in terms of idol worship and B'chuk Yisem L'Seleich. Continues the Mishnah. Here we have a fellow doing a regular Shechita, proper Shechita, on a proper animal, not carbon, chulin, right? In a proper way. But as he's doing the shechita, he announces, I'm doing this as an oila. Hashech l'shem oila. He's pretending that's an oila. L'shem zvachim. Some change it to l'shem shlamim. He's doing a shechita in his backyard, not the Beis Hamikdash. He's claiming it to be a shlamim. L'shem asham tali. He's claiming it to be an asham tali, which is a carbon that one will bring if he encounters a questionable situation where he ate something which may have been chaylev, right? So there's a chiyuv to bring an asham tali. L'shem pesach, l'shem toida. He claims it to be a carbon pesach, a carbon toida. Shechita is a psula. It disqualifies a shechita. Now you'll ask why. I mean, actually, it's not an asham. It's not, right? So Rashi says it's from the Rabbanon, because it appears as such. The uneducated observer, following this fellow's activities, might assume, might take him seriously. He claimed that it's an asham. Oh, it must be an asham. So you can do shechita outside the Beis HaMikdash and still eat the basar? So in order to avoid that sort of misconception, Chacham say, you know what? If you pretended to be a shlamim, you've now disqualified the shechita and you can't eat it. But that only applies when, in fact, there is some basis for his claim. There's some room for this claim, which applies in these cases, because technically you could donate an oila anytime. You could donate a shlamim anytime. So for the observer watching, he takes him seriously. Why not? He assumes it's really an oila, really a shlamim, which was shechted out of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's possible. However, we're going to see in a minute, the flip side of this equation is if he pretended it to be something which he cannot donate, like, for instance, a chatas. A person can't wake up in the morning and just donate a chatas. He has to have sin first to bring a chatas, right? So if he claims that this animal is a chatas, and it's not, everybody knows he didn't sin, as she says, a sinner, even b'shegeg, lets it be known, he wants to get a kapara, wants to get atonement, he wants to experience that shame and get proper kapara. So we all know he didn't do anything wrong. So he's just pranking around. Nobody takes him seriously. So there's no room for concern. There's no room for misunderstanding. And therefore, there's no issue with the shechita. Okay, so that's basically the equation. If we're talking about karbonis which have potential, which can potentially be true, then it disqualifies the shechita. But otherwise, he's just blowing air and it's a non-issue. Rav Shimon Machshir. Now, Rav Shimon takes issue with the whole gzeri. He says, even if there's confusion and there's, he says, it's okay. Rashi says, lo yichayish lemaris ayim. We're not concerned about people observing, you know, to this extent to make it possible. Okay, shnayim uchim basakan. Once again, we have the joint shechita, two people doing shechita together. V'shoichten echel l'shem echem kol elu. One has a mind, you know, an oila shlamim. V'echel l'shem dar kasha. Other fellow has no clue about his partner's, mindset. He's just thinking regular shechita, regular meat. Shechita as a psula because of the Reuven who deviated. Now we have the flip side of that equation, a list of karbonets which cannot be so. Hashoich l'shem chatas. He's taking a regular animal in his backyard, doing shechita as though it's a chatas. L'shem asham. Vadai, regular asham, l'shem b'chor, as though it's a firstborn animal, which it isn't. L'shem maser, as though it's the tenth maser, you know, behema animal, which we know it's not. He's not doing maser behema. We see l'shem tamura, he pretends that it's a tamura, which is like an exchange of a carbon. And we know he didn't do that. In this case, it's okay because it's a non-issue. We disregard his claim. Zaklal, in line with the following formula. If he's claiming it to be something which you could donate, now there's a personal donation, dava is an object being donated, something which you can do any time, any day, so for all we know, it is really so. Perhaps this animal is really a shlam. Hashach lishmoy asr. So if he shechts it for that sake, so it's asr, like we explained, because it appears to be so. But if it's something which is non-starter, v'she'enu nidav nidav, is something which you can't obligate yourself to do, like a chatos. So hashoich lishmoy kasher. If you declare this goat to be a chatos, it's a non-factor, we disregard it, and it's a proper shechit. Hashoich lishem oyla, says the Gemara. Or a shlamim, or an asham tali. These items, these karbanos, can potentially be true. Ask the Gemara, really? Asham tali bar nidar v'nidavu? Since when can you just donate an asham tali on a random Tuesday morning? So unless you actually experienced that doubtful, you know, experience where you ate something, and which we know we didn't, how can you just donate an Ashem Tali? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, yeah, you could. We are going according to the Shita that a person could donate an Ashem Tali any time, any day, because there's always some sort of, you know, some sort of possibility, some sort of option that he may have encountered a problematic, you know, experience, and a person is able to donate an Ashem Tali even without firm basis or firm grounds for obligation. Hamani, this mission is in line with the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar holds the Amar Misnad of Adam Ashem Tali B'chol Yayim. Okay, so going like Shita Rabbi Elazar, who says that one can donate an Ashem Tali every day, just in case, right? So in that case, it can very well be true. It can be that this carbon was an Ashem Tali. And that's why we take him seriously. Ask the Gemara, what about the next, the Karban Pesach? I mean, it's Tu B'Shvat today. It's not Erev Pesach. How could this be a Karban Pesach? Pesach. Hoyel. Sorry, Pesach. Bar Nidar, Nidav V'Nidavu? Bar Nidav V'Nidaru? Can one donate a Karban Pesach randomly in the middle of the year? Zimna Kvili, it has a set time. Why should we take him seriously? Amar Rav Yoshia. Well, yeah, I mean, you bring the Karban Pesach, Erev Pesach, but you could technically designated all year round, and if you shecht it at any time other than Erev Pesach, the halacha is a default to a shlamim. That's the halacha. We learned this many times, right? Amar Rav Yishai, Shani Pesach. Pesach is different to Hoyel Vafer Shasai in terms of its designation. Kol Hashana Kulo. You could do it any time throughout the year, and if you shechted it any time, it becomes a shlamim. So again, it has basis. It has, you know, potential even throughout the year. So you have to take him seriously. This is only true if the goat that he's shechting is unblemished. Then you can, you know, speculate perhaps it's really a carbon, and you run into the whole issue. But if it's blemished, everybody knows it's not fit for a carbon. Made the idea. Rabbi Yechonamar says, no, even blemished. Maybe it's covered up with some, you know, dirt. It could happen that there's some material covering the mum. But the idea, it's not observable, so it makes no difference. Even a balmum carried the same concern. However, on the flip side, we have karbanis, which have no basis in reality. You can't just donate a chatas randomly. So in that case, we disregard his claim, and the shechita is okay. Because there's no room for confusion. Hashem l'shem chatas. It's only true l'sheinim chiv chatas. It's only if the person is, in fact, not known. Right? He's not. He's really not chayv chatas. So he's just making things up, and you know, we disregard. But in fact, if he's chayv chatos, then maybe what he's saying is really illegitimate. Perhaps he's shechting this goat for his chatos. That triggers the whole concern. But even so, says the Gemara, you can't just say l'shem chatos. It has to be l'shem chatosi to really designate it as his personal chatos. Otherwise, it's, you know. Well, like Amar l'shem chatosi, he didn't say chatosi. This is my. Yeah, we're speaking that he did say it like that. And still, Mishnah says that if he hadn't really sinned, it's a non-starter and doesn't really matter. But if he did sin, then we have to reckon with it. L'shem Tmura. Okay, he claims that this goat here is a Tmura. We disregard it. Amar Balaza, Shanu, that's only true. L'shem Zevach V'tach Beisai. He doesn't have a carbon at home, which he's using as a source material for this Tmura. So then it's, you know, a non-entity. So he has a carbon at home. That presents a concern. Because we can speculate. Amuri. Amuri is the lashon of Tmura. He switched. Amuri Amir Bey. He switched it with that one. Meaning he really made Tmura. And as Rashi brings, even if the source material, the original carbon, is not here in front of the new animal, you can still make Tmura. You can say, look, this goat is a Tmura, an exchange, or an extension of a carbon that I have at home. So in this case, there is a very real concern that in fact what he's saying is real. Amuri Amrabe. But he didn't stipulate that this is going to be a tmura of my carbon. He didn't say it like that. Maravo, we're talking they did say it like that. Boim Elishem Tmura Zivchi did say it like that. So that will present a concern. Zeh HaKlal. Now the mission concludes with a rule. Usually, that means that we're including more examples, which haven't been said yet. And the Mishnah states it in both ways, right? If it's a reference to something that he could technically donate, then we have to be concerned, but otherwise not. So what examples are being included which haven't yet been mentioned? One example from each side of the equation. Zaklal, Asuya Mai, what are we including? What is something which can be donated? Lasuya Oilas Nazar. He's claiming this goat to be the oila of a Nazar, as though he experienced Naziris, which obligates him to bring karbanis. We have to take him seriously. Perhaps it is exactly such. Now, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? What's the added point? The Ma'od HaTema, perhaps I would not take him seriously. Why? Hoila Nader. We know this fellow never committed to Nazirus. I mean, you see, his hair is short, and so he's just pranking around. No, aim or Nader B'tzina. You can always say, maybe he committed privately, quietly, discreetly. As Rashi says, Nazirus is merely 30 days, right? So his hair, 30-day hair growth isn't so discernible. He can still, pass, he can still hide. Okay, v'she'ena nida v'nida, mission concludes, but something which is not donatable, then he's just pranking around. Lasuya, lasuya ledes. What are we including here? Even if he claims that this carbon here is the oila that a woman who gives birth has to bring, we disregard it. It's not something you can just donate randomly. It's something that you have to be obligated to bring. And we know he's not. So it's a non-issue. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Yeah, leishanu l'shem le'isha. It's only true if he has no wife. That can theoretically be chayiv in this carbon. Obligation l'isha, if he's married. Amar l'shmo oisa. Perhaps he's dedicating it for her sake. It's her carbon after birth. But like Amar l'shem le'isha ishti, he didn't say, this is for my wife's oila. Amar avo. Yeah, that's exactly what he said. But Amar was speaking that he articulated the shame oilas ishti pshita, then it's pretty obvious why he even discusses. Al the tema, perhaps I could think, im isa de yolda, kola havale. Why does Rablez have to say, well, if he has a wife, it's different? I mean, obviously, the answer is like this. Perhaps, even so, we can just disregard it. Why? Al the tema, we turn to the next amid. Al the tema, perhaps you can think, if he would have had a baby, there would have been a kiddush. Imisa, the old, if in fact his wife would have given birth, everybody would know about it. Mazel tov, kol havale, would be big news in town. So perhaps we should assume that it's nonsense. Kamashmal, the point of Rabbi Elazar is to say, no, Amor, perhaps we can say, apuli apple, perhaps she miscarried. So there was no grand celebration, but nevertheless, she's chayv to bring a carbon, because technically, as we learned in Maseches Krisis, even in that situation, the woman is obligated to bring a carbon yoledes, and perhaps that's what happened. So in this case, we have to reckon with his claim. Hadam l'chashechet. Okay, let's recap this. We began with a non-owner trying to interfere with his neighbor's items. According to Rav Huna, yes, he's oiser of Avashen Shaloi, which turned out to be Machlekes Tanoim. According to the other sheet, no. There's a shita that by a guy, yes, but not by Yisrael, unless it's Yisrael Mumar, where we assume that he's doing Avodah Zarah for real. Shechita has to be done in a manner consistent with the Torah observance, as opposed to opening up all kinds of speculations of Avodah Zarah, etc., etc. And we learned about a fellow who did shechita, claiming that it's a karban. The Rabbanon, the Shechita is possible, but that's only provided that there's some potential for his claim to be true, and that confuses the observers who take him seriously. But if it's something like a Chatos, an Asham, which he can't just randomly donate, we know it's just a false claim, it's just a prank, in which case the carbon is fully kosher. Okay, Hatmul HaShoichet, all the best to you, lots of Hatzlacha. Tomorrow we start a brand new chapter in our Masechta, Eilat Treifos, discussing the intricacies of the anatomy of the behemoths and the Eifos, and what constitutes a kosher animal, and what type of inspections, examinations are needed to ensure as such. All the best to you, Hatzlacha Rabbah.